I don't know if you feel like you are different, but here's the thing. We all are different. And yeah, it's not just a peculiar thing. It's not just that you look different. It's not just that you have a different personality. One of the things I love about that video is just some of the words that are used that say, you know what? You are not alone. You're not in this by yourself. This is not something that you generate on your own. This is something that God is doing. And the truth is, we live in a culture that really, we don't like to stand out. We don't like to be different than everybody else. Our culture is really a world that seeks to fit in. We just want to blend in. We want to be a part of the group. We want to be going in the same direction. And this is like, man, if I could just help us to get this. If you're going to be a Christ follower, you're not going to fit in with the motion and the direction that this world offers. The friends that you have, the systems that are in place, you're not going to fit in. You are going to be different if you're going to be a true Christ follower. That's why it's really important for us to get this. I love this series. If you've missed any part of this, I hope you can go online and you would listen to what you've missed, because each one of these are important. In fact, they're all important because they give us this practical look at what it means to be different in this world that we live in. And we've looked at the practicality of this. First of all, we looked at faith and how our faith sets us apart and sets us different. Our values is another one we looked at. Last week, James talked about our calling. And so there's all of these things. And even today is even good. Man, I'm glad you're here, because I think today's is like such a pivotal one for this culture that we're in and the time that we're in. We are going to be different. Time and time again, Peter says this world is not your home. He refers to it directly as your foreigners. You're just here passing through. You're just here for a moment. It's not that you're here for a long time. You're just here for a moment, and that moment is brief. I mean, in the spectrum of our life and how long that might be, we look at it and go, oh, you know what? I'm here for like 70, 80 years. That's great. But in light of eternity, 70 or 80 years is nothing. And not only that, but we don't know the day that we will pass away, that we will leave this world and go to our home. So we live with this expectancy. The expectancy that causes and allows us to be different means it looks like this, that our values are going to be different, that you're going to parent different. You're going to be a different friend. You're going to be a different employee. You're going to spend your money different. You're going to spend your time different. You're going to spend every part of your life different than the world spends their lives. And it is going to set you apart. One of the things as we look at today, I think is we're going to look at respect today and just how respect causes us to stand out. As Christ followers, we're here on a work visa. We went to China, and when we went to the embassy in China, and they told us, listen, you know, you're only allowed to stay for a certain period of time. And in that period of time, you have to be back here. And not only that, but they said, one of the things that was really interesting that ties into this talk today is they found out that I was a pastor. Now, China is a communist country, and they found out I was a pastor. I didn't want to come out and say I was a pastor. I didn't want to lie about it either, so I said I worked at a church. As soon as I used the word church, boy, I mean, alarms went off. Not literally, but people were all over, and they were saying, they told me that I had to have, like, a letter from the church, and I had to have all this promise. I had to sign a statement that said I would not proselytize, and I would not do anything, and if I did, I would be subject to their law and imprisoned. It's this very same thing with us. We're here with a different calling. We're here on a work visa. And you know what? We are subject to the laws of the land that we're in. In this, one of the things that we've said is really an issue for us. And I think it's an issue for most Christians, most Christ followers. And that is that we choose and we really want to fit into a culture that God has called us from. That's something that we've mentioned throughout this series, but I think it's important to keep that at the forefront of what the dilemma is, how we process all this. Most of us seek to fit into a culture that God has called us from. That becomes a problem, because when we seek to fit in, we no longer seek to be different. So if we can reconnect with the context, we know this. Peter is writing this book. This is a study on, this is a study on the book of 1 Peter. Peter is writing the book. He's the disciple of Jesus. And he is writing to persecuted, hurting, and fearful Christians. They are being persecuted by the king. The king is a crazy man. And he has not only killed his wife, possibly his first wife, and possibly his mom, but he has also burned the city. And then in burning the city, he turned and blamed this small group of Christians and said, they're the reasons. They're what's happened. They're the ones that caused this. So the Christians are under great persecution. And James mentioned this last week, and I want to just pick it up again. It's found in verse 11 and 12 of chapter 2. It says this, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Now let's just real quick. These Christians are being accused of a few things. They're first of all being accused of being superstitious, and they're looked at as honoring and valuing magic because of the miracles that have gone on. They don't understand. So when they see these miracles or hear about these miracles, what they term it as is magic. And the chief magician is Jesus. Another thing that they're being accused of is they're incestuous, and they are always talking about love. And they're always talking about having these love feasts where they get together and they have communion. We know it as communion. They called it this love feast that they call each other brothers and sisters. So they, the outside world, looks at them and says, you know what? They're having incest in these gatherings. And another thing that they're accused of is that they're called cannibals. And the reason is because during communion, they talk about partaking of the blood and body of Christ. And the outside world looks at that and goes, that is gross. They were misunderstood. They were eating this bread and wine, calling it the blood and body of Christ, and then accused of being cannibals. Now, we are not accused of those kind of things today. Most people understand that this is not something that we deal with. However, in our world today, we are probably judged as being self-righteous, judgmental, and maybe intolerant. And this is one of those things where people on the outside will look and they'll say they're intolerant when we're trying to follow a standard that God gives us, and that standard is greater than what the world offers. The world looks at us and they say, you are intolerant. Or the church, or other people might say, you know what, you act so self-righteous. When really you're saying, listen, it's not me, it's God in me. I choose to live by a different standard. We can be falsely accused. But in this false accusations that we live in, one of the things that we've got to understand is our good behavior has a purpose for all of us. Now, depending on what translation you read, it will refer to them in different ways. First of all, some translations in our text today will use the word respect. Other translations will use the word submission. You can write this in on your notes if you want. I believe it's one of the fill-ins. Submission is the action of respect. So they're basically the same thing. Submission is the action of respect. Regardless of what translation you read, and one might say respect, one might say submission, they're speaking of the same thing. And I'm going to be reading from the New Testament or New Living Translation. And so it'll use the word respect rather than submission. But let me give you a couple of definitions of respect, first of all. First of all, respect is to elevate or to enlarge our opinion of someone. It's also to recognize their value, okay? Two things, it's important to understand that. In how you choose to respect other people, it is to enlarge your opinion of someone. It is also to recognize their value. So let's get into this text, verse 13 through 15. It says this, for the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king as the head of state or the officials as his appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. Your respect of others is going to set you apart. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Especially in today's world, respect for others is going to cause you to stand out. And I'll tell you, it is absolutely no mistake that Peter, when he starts dealing with respect, that Peter addresses authority as the very first part of this. It's no mistake. This is a big issue in our world today, especially here in America, because we have a hard time with respect. And I think an important question we need to ask ourselves is this: am I more American than I am Christian? Because that is going to really give us a great indication of just how different we are in this world. Are my values more American than they are Christian? In today's culture, if you don't like authority, then what people do is they despise it, they dig at it, they defy it, and they disregard it. It doesn't pertain to them. I mean, you know what? I can say this. This has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with a person. This is about what following Jesus looks like. But we've got to really get this. In today's world, there is no respect for authority. We do whatever we can to not respect authority. We defy it. And it's more of an American thing. I'm not saying it is strictly American, but especially here in America, you can just turn on the news and watch what is going on in our world and how Americans have no respect. Not about our president. It's just about law. It's about authority in general. So why is this important? First of all, our submission to authority reflects our submission to God. Your submission to authority reflects your submission to God. There's a direct correlation and a direct connection between people in authority over us and God, who is our ultimate authority. If we trust God, then we are going to trust the authority that is in place. And here's why. It's an important scripture found in Romans. Paul says this, Romans 13. He says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. And get this part. For all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And they will be punished. Listen, yeah. It calls us, this isn't just like our government. It is our government. It's not just our government. You have a teacher that you don't like. You have a boss who's a jerk. It's still authority. In our world, if we don't like something, we drop the class and move on. If we don't like someone, then we quit our job and find something else. And it's all about this. I mean, a lot of times it's about this issue of authority. Just don't like them. We fail to stop and say, all authority has been placed there in my life by God, and it's for my good and my protection. Your respect of authority directly reflects your respect of God. It calls us to trust God more. Here's another reason why this is important. God is in control of who is in control. In your life and in my life and in our world, we have to believe and we have to understand that God is in control of who is in control. You see it all through scripture, how God was in control of authority that allowed, I mean, look at the Israelites when they were in bondage and God turned the heart of Pharaoh to allow the Israelites to leave. God is ultimately in control. And I think that is a great question for us to ask. How much in control is God in your perspective? In your perspective in this world, how much control does God really have? Because it will affect your trust. A lot of us, and I would say most of us, look at authority and we just say, you know what? God may have put them there, but God doesn't like them, so I don't have to like them either. When we choose to disrespect or not submit, we put ourselves in control of the situation. Ultimately, that is what our human nature seeks out. We seek out this opportunity to be in control and to be the one who determines where we go, what we do, and what is right and what is wrong. We don't want to respect the authority. Listen to what it says in Romans. Continuing off what we just read, he says, the authorities are God's servants sent for your good. God is in control of those who are in control. And believing that God is in control changes how we live. It changes our behavior. Here's another reason why this is so important. Submission is a calling for all Christ followers. It is a calling on your life. If you choose to follow Christ, submission is a calling on all of our lives. To trust God completely, to live dependently on Him, is this calling with a purpose. 1 Peter 2:15, he says this, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. He also says in 1 Peter 2:21, he says, to this you were called. And we'll look at that a little bit later on. But this is a calling for all Christ followers. And I'm telling you, the temptation is great for us to look for excuses, for us to look for loopholes that would excuse us from this and to say, oh, I'm sure that that's a good thing, but here's why this doesn't work for me. We're always looking for excuses, something that's going to remove us, something that's going to be a loophole that this doesn't pertain to us. And we'll use things like, well, people in authority abuse power. Yes, they do. You can look at it as authority can't be trusted, but God can be trusted. You can look at people who have authority and you can say absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that might be true. It still doesn't excuse us from what God has called us to do and for us to submit and respect the authority that he has in place, whether we agree with it or like it. It's still our calling. Peter begins this text that we're looking at right now with authority, but he doesn't end there. In fact, what he says is this: respect everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God. And then he gets to this, and it's like, this looks like an underhanded dig. It's what it feels like, but I know it's not. And then he says this: and respect the king. Do I need to remind you who he's writing to? Persecuted Christians who are being persecuted by that king. Listen, you know what? If anybody had a loophole, if anybody said, hey, you know what? This doesn't pertain to us, it would be this group. And they're saying, submit, respect the king. Because the king is ultimately in control of God. See, I think this is important to note as we respect people, though we might not agree with the person. We are to respect people even if we do not agree with the person. There's a lot of times a person lacks integrity, like this guy that we looked at, the king that the Christians are dealing with. He lacks integrity. He's a liar. He's a murderer. And they're still being called to respect the position. See, called to respect the position, even if you can't respect the person. In 1 Timothy, we're reminded, what do you do in those times? When you can't respect the person because of their lack of integrity, their lack of character, but yet they have a position that demands our respect. And what are we called to do in that? 1 Timothy tells us this, that we're to pray especially for rulers and their governments. And the reason why that's so important is because you cannot be mad at somebody you're praying for. You cannot hold anger towards somebody that you are called, that you are lifting to God and you're asking God to bless them and to help them and to change them. Prayer helps us to respect others. We're also to respect people, though it might not be easy. It wasn't easy for these Christians, that's for sure. King is persecuting them. They have family members that have died, burned alive. BC, before Cynthia, I lived in Memphis for a year or so. And I know I've told you a story before, but it fits so well with this, that I needed a job. I found a job, and it was with this architect, and that was something I was interested in. And so I was doing it as a draftsman, and so I started working for this guy. And it was a Japanese guy. He spoke English, obviously, and so I was working with him, but he's this little guy. He's about this big. I know that might be normal height, but that's a little guy. And so as I'm working for this guy, every single day, this guy would cuss me out. Every day, cuss me out. And then I'd been working on this drawing for what we were doing, and if he didn't like it, he would come in, cuss me out, take the drawing, and wrinkle it up, and it's something you spend like 5 hours doing. He would wrinkle it up and throw it in the trash. I have to tell you, there were many times I thought, okay, if I punched him in the face, I honestly think that his face might cave in and my fist could actually go through that. That's kind of the emotion I was dealing with. I'm not saying it was Christ-like, but as I prayed about it, I just continually heard God say, this is your boss, respect him. I gave you this job, respect him. I'll release you when it's time. This went on for like a year. One day, I'll never forget it. I'm sitting there. I can still see it in my mind. I mean, as clear as day. I can see the cubicle that I'm sitting in. And I'm sitting there. I'm doing this drawing. And this guy, he comes up again. And he's talking to me. He starts cussing me out. I mean, cussing me out. Which, when you put yourself in that kind of environment day after day after day, sometimes it does something to you. It's almost like you expect it. And I'm sitting there. And I'm drawing. This guy's cussing at me. And I'm just like, oh, here we go again, you know, and I'm listening. And all of a sudden, no lie, not making this up, all of a sudden I hear these words, Dave, you can quit now. That's what I heard. Not outside, in my heart, I just heard this, Dave, you can quit now. And God released me. And I stood up and I said, I remember the guy's name, Buddy, which he was no buddy, but I said, and I'm sure this caught him off guard, because I looked at him and I said, Buddy, I can quit. That's how I said it. Buddy, I can quit now. And he's like, what? I said, yeah, I can quit now. This is my last day. In fact, you know what? I'm done. And you don't have to pay me for anything that I've done this week. I was so relieved. I honestly believed, I mean, the story goes on where God really gives me another job like the following day. I believe that God honored me because I allowed myself to respect the authority that God had put in my life. I didn't say it's easy. Peter goes on to give these pictures, and he gives these three examples, which we'll look at in just a little bit. But he's addressing the people in his church, and he talks to husbands, and he talks to wives, and then he talks to slaves. And by no means is he advocating or condoning slavery. It was just a part of the culture. And you want to talk about, though it's not easy. We're called to respect people, though it's not easy. Here's what he says to slaves. He says, you who are slaves must accept the authority of your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. Other translations say, even if they are harsh. Wow. You're looking for a loophole? You're looking for something that says, hey, you know what? This doesn't pertain to me. Oh, man, that you're not going to find it here. What you're going to find? You're going to find a message that causes us to have greater faith. You're going to find this message that pulls us in that says, "You listen, authority is given to you. Authority is put in your life so that you will have faith in a God who is ultimately in control." Respecting authority and respecting people is always going to cause you to stand out. And I think it's a great way when people are going to ask, man, why would you do that? In a culture that does not respect authority and you stand out, it's easy to go back to Romans and to say all authority is from God. It's easy to go back and say, listen, God is in control of who is in control. I choose to submit to God and to trust the authority that he's put in place, whether I agree with it or not. I'm not looking for loopholes. We can't look for loopholes, just like the slaves say, man, not just when he's kind and reasonable, but when he's harsh. He goes on and he talks about the wives, and the wives is like, but what if my husband is not following God? Then I don't have to submit to him, and then I don't have to respect him. And he says, no, that's not true. Let your lives be lived honorably so that they can be won over. The husband's like, hey, I'm the head of the house. I don't have to respect my wife. That's not true. See, he's giving this picture and he's saying, I'm not saying this is easy, but I am saying there are no loopholes. There are no excuses. We're called to respect the authority that God has put in place. So when we treat others with respect, four things, and I'm just going to read them really quick. I'm probably not going to go to read the scriptures. You can do that on your own. When I treat others with respect, first of all, I act like Jesus, because that's exactly what he did. You can read about it in verse 21, 22, 23, I believe. It explains how Jesus treated those who falsely accused him, those who beat him, those who were persecuting him with respect. Forces us to act like Jesus. When I treat others with respect, I ultimately trust God. I have to read this scripture. It's in verse 23. Speaking of Jesus, when it tells us that I ultimately have to trust God, listen to what it says about Jesus. While he's going through this encounter on the cross and being falsely accused and being spit on and beaten and all of that, it says this about him. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Wow, that's powerful stuff. Because that means when I don't feel like things are going my way, when I don't feel like I'm being judged fairly, I can act like Jesus and trust God and put my case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. When I treat others with respect,
it also gives me greater influence
because my behavior wins people over, not my words. In fact, in this scripture, it talks about how they may not be won over by your words, but they will be won over by your behavior.
Gives us greater influence.
And when I treat others with respect, I treat others as my equal. I'm not better than, I'm not greater than. They're not less than me. I'm not put into their lives to judge them. They're my equal. God made us all equal. God made us all the same. Position doesn't make you better. If you're a person who holds position, it does not make you better. It just gives you responsibility.
I'd like you to close your eyes if you would.
Maybe you're here today and maybe there's somebody in your life that you need to be treating with respect. Maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your employer, or professor, or teacher. Maybe it's just a whole perception that you personally have where you struggle with authority. This is a calling for all of us. There's no excuses, there's no loopholes. This puts us in a place where we say, okay, either I depend upon God and I allow God to make me different, or I'm gonna continue living as I choose to live and just blend into this world, just fit in. This would be a great opportunity today to kind of recommit ourselves and to say, God, it's not about agreeing with the person, but more about respecting the position that you put over me for my good. And maybe you're here and you don't even have any respect for God, or you haven't, and today would be a day to change that, because ultimately, you're not gonna respect authority if you do not respect God. You're not gonna submit to authority if you have not submitted your life to God. Man, if you wanna do that, today's a great day to do it. There's no special words. You tell God, God, I want you to be the CEO of my life. I want you to be in charge. I don't wanna live for myself, I wanna live for you. God will hear that prayer and begin a relationship with you. But let me pray for all of us today. Father, today, first of all, I lift up those that might be struggling and have not had a relationship with you. So there is no submission. And Father, I just ask that as they give their lives to you, Father, may they learn to turn their lives over on a daily basis, a submitting to you and what you want and what's important to you. To not live for what's important to them, but to live for what pleases you. Father, I ask that you would breathe new life into them and that you would give them a sense, a purpose in their lives that's totally different than what they've ever experienced before. And Father, for all of us that are here today, may we, whoever that person is, whatever that entity is that we might struggle with, Father, I ask that you would help us today to learn to trust you, who is in control of those who are in control. Father, help us today to trust you completely, to depend upon you in times of difficulty, to understand that the difficulties of our lives grow our faith, and they bring us to a place where we depend upon you. So Father, may we be different, may we stand out, because we choose to submit to the people in control that you have put there over our lives. In Jesus' name we ask, and everybody said, amen.